This sermon is entitled An Unknown God. How do we talk about our faith? How do we talk about our faith in this time of COVID-19? How do we even understand our faith in this time more generally? I find our reading from Acts for today to be a great help to me. It always has been, actually. I find it inspiring. I find it inspiring as I think about how to be for God in our world, and maybe you do too. Paul gives us a great example of evangelism. Now, evangelism is sometimes a very uncomfortable word for us in the Episcopal Church. When I first became a Christian in my 20s, I wondered what would be expected of me when it came to evangelism. As I got to know the Episcopal Church, I realized that nothing was expected of me when it came to evangelism. At least not in the way that I thought I was going to have to do it based on the experiences I had had with people approaching me about Jesus. Those people had been, and these weren't Episcopalians, these were sort of the Campus Crusade folks, the people that I'd encountered when I yet didn't know really anything about Christianity. So they were coming to somebody who was just like, what? And they seemed so self-righteous, so certain that they knew what I needed, that they knew that I needed to be saved. Their method was very in your face and demanding, so certain and so simplistic. Accept Jesus as my Savior and all would be well. And some of these people like to tell me about how it was not going to be well at all if that didn't happen. Now, this approach is helpful to some. Some people have connected with God when people approach them this way. I don't deny that. And I know that people who do that, many of them are reaching out in love with great concern. And while it might work for some, it never worked for me. It just pushed me further away from Christianity. So that's one approach, in your face, presenting truth really out of context. Not in the context of the person's life, or even in the context of God's relationship with that person, which is already real and strong. For God has created everyone in God's image, and loves everyone, and in Christ was born, lived, died, and rose for everyone. Not to stand away, distant somewhere until something happens, but always with every single person. Okay, so that's one extreme approach to evangelism. Then there's another, and this is the thing that we are often taught in the Episcopal Church, that we don't want to offend, we don't want to push our practices or beliefs on anyone, and this sort of approach is what got us labeled the frozen chosen, right? You guys might have heard that. That was a thing. Now, as a denomination, I'm happy to say we've really moved away from that. Some people moved away a long time ago. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and his enthusiasm for the gospel has helped others move away. And we've actually been doing teaching about how to talk about our faith in recent years. But that's not how many of us were brought up in the Episcopal Church, so it's good to discuss it together. How do we share the good news? I think we need to start by asking ourselves what is good about our faith practices, our faith community, our spirituality, and our actions that come from what we believe. From our love for God. You have a message of grace to share with people, which is shaped by your life, your walk with God, your struggles, and your joys. This is how St. Paul felt, I imagine. He had something important to share, life-changing. His life had been changed. Do you remember last week's reading from the Acts of the Apostles? Stephen was stoned to death, And Paul, then known as Saul, was standing there watching everybody's coats while they were stoning Stephen. Between that day and what we hear today, Saul went on a journey and came out of it as Paul. So famous was that experience that everyone knows it, the Road to Damascus experience. That means, you know, one is changed. It can be applied in many different ways, right? It's so well known by people who are not Christians, as it refers to one's mind being changed, how a person sees the world so differently, radically differently after some sort of experience, mind-opening, heart-opening experience. Paul did not wander into Athens with a set of ideas written down from someone else. He went into places, including Athens, with his personal experience, which inspired him to reach out. So what inspires us to reach out? You do not need to have had a conversion experience in the classic sense. We've all had personal experiences of God. In fact, we are having one right now. This is one, the gathered community, people together praying. We do not need to have had the same sort of experience as Paul, but I dare say we need to treasure and embrace the experiences of grace that we have had. For it is out of those experiences, things like serving others, working in our food pantry, worshiping, praying together, praying on our own, reading about religion, using and valuing our our minds, our reason, all of this is part of our personal experience of faith, or one aspect might be part of your experience. Whatever it is for you, it is only out of those experiences that we can really speak to others about God. I maintain it has to be personal. It can't be abstract, or it really doesn't mean much, especially to those who know nothing about Christianity or nothing good about it. And that is a lot of people. I care about this so much because I know that there are people all around us searching for meaning, searching for hope, searching for joy, searching for community. So let's get practical and detailed about this, like Paul did. Say you're connecting with a personal experience of God, of faith, of Christian community, and you want to share it. You hear in your mind all those warnings, don't offend people, don't push it on anyone. But first we have to connect with our own sense of the goodness of faith. That's the first part, or one of the parts. And the other part is truly appreciating that God is already at work in everyone's life and in every community. Paul goes to Athens, and what does he see? He sees many idols. He sees people who were very religious, right? He doesn't just see that and be upset and leave it there. He is upset. But then he thinks more about it. They were very religious. They had so many idols so that they could cover all their bases, so much so that they even had an altar to an unknown god. Paul sees that, and he is inspired. What inspires you when you look around and see people living their lives? Paul sees that altar and proclaims that he knows this god that they call unknown. And we read from the account, "What you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who has made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he is in need of anything. since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offsprings. Since we are God's offsprings, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. Okay, so Paul knows that they are seeking. He knows enough about their culture to use words that they can understand. From Greek philosophy comes the phrase, "In you we live and move and have our being." That was not Christian to begin with. Some may not know that that comes from Greek philosophy because we find it in the Bible, of course, now, and it is so meaningful to us as Christians. So as Christians in American society, we are part of this culture. We don't need a course to learn about it. We're already here. But we do need to be open to groups that might not be the ones we always spend time with, to see how God is already at work with them, and then to share the good news that we have. And again, not some abstract creed, but something that really matters to me, to you, about faith. And I'm not talking about converting anyone from their faith. That's another aspect of how this whole evangelism thing got a little messed up for Episcopalians. Because when people were talking about it, it was very clear you were Christian, you were Jewish. I mean, there weren't a lot of choices. That you were Muslim, but most Episcopalians, say, in 1950 didn't know many Muslim folks. So there wasn't a lot out there to, like there is now, like so many people who don't have any sort of faith tradition at all, or at least are not active in a faith tradition and are lacking that, are seeking. So I'm not talking about converting people. Now, Paul would have. So I'm not saying that's what the scripture is saying. But now, with our reason and our history, we can get the goodness out of this reading without applying the entire thing. And it's not quick. What I'm talking about doesn't happen quickly. It's not like those people who used to come up to me when I was a teenager or in my early 20s and try to save me, not knowing me at all, not knowing my story. But in the groups where we live and move and have our being, we can be open to that possibility that what is good news for you could be good news for them. Some of you know about my journey with the spin classes, right? Which I'm missing so much now, of course. When I started these spin classes, which are cycling classes that I took at Gold's Gym, the Spirit really touched me. And that's the other thing about this whole evangelism stuff. It's not about just doing something for somebody else. This is the action of the Spirit that is all around, flowing and touching your life and my life and others' lives. And this, I share this experience with you because it was really amazing. I mean, I'm in these classes and all of a sudden I start thinking about how these classes are teaching me about God and about the best of church. That's what I heard in my spirit. So those classes are about being supportive, not judging people, encouraging people, bringing people together around a common goal, where none of the things that made us different from each other matters at all. And I was sitting there, cycling there, and thinking, that's church when it's at its very best. I heard God calling me to learn from these classes how to better express my faith in a world that might not, respond to other ways of expressing it. I made a lot of videos about this that I put on Facebook and on YouTube. And after a year or more of me being in these classes, some people started asking me about our church. And I was able to share some of the good news, what's good to me, with them in a context, in a sharing context, not a fast process, but true engagement, real community, where people come to trust each other. That's not a fast process, but it does happen. Let us pray. O God, during this time of COVID-19, when so many things have changed, we give you thanks that it is in you that we live and move and have our being. May we always know your love for us, that we are yours, and that we can find ourselves, our grounding in you. Help us during this time to speak about you in ways that reach others and give comfort and hope to all. May the ways that we are reaching out online help those who are searching for a word of grace, love, and hope. In the name of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.